shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. A little bit late coming in, but we're here.
We're on Latino time.
We're on Latino. Christina, yes. Latino time. Your time. Your time. Anyway, welcome, everybody. This is the way my day has been. My days have been, to be honest, you know. So this is, I think, all par for the course. Is what they say, par for the course?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has this ever happened to you before where yesterday, it all started yesterday, I think. So at the morning mass, I was thinking that I was in Thursday and screwed up the intentions for the mass. By the evening mass, I was, because I do the bilingual, so I had the gospel for the Thursday. I actually started reading the gospel. I realized, no, this is because I had read the gospel in English. Mm-hmm. Right? And I realized that this isn't. So anyway, I had to, you know, in the about four sentences into the gospel, mm-hmm. I had to retract or whatever. And then during the night, as I, you know, I'm thinking, I wake up during the night and I'm thinking, oh, we got the children's mass, you know, on Friday. Tomorrow, get the children's mass. So all night, I'm preparing this mass. I'm thinking about this is the first mass of the year. What am I going to say? And so I had it, by the time 4 o'clock came when I woke up, I had been up. But I had it, I was kind of excited because I knew, you know, what I was going to tell the
you
students.
You were ready.
I was
yes.
ready to go. So I, you know, by 5 o'clock I go to get the coffee, you know, I do that. I could make the coffee here, but it just gives me a sense that I'm going to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody else, like most normal people. And I got to the Starbucks over there on Ohio and Estate, and I walked in and one of the clerks, first time they've ever done it, he says, hi, Tony, how you doing? You know? And because that's my name, of course. You know, he asked me my name. They don't know I'm a priest because when I go out that early in the morning, I'm just wearing a white shirt.
Right.
Or in the wintertime, a coat or whatever. And so I said, I'm doing fine. I said, thank God it's Friday. I said, it's Friday, you know. And they all said, it's not Friday. I said, what do you mean? I said, it's Friday. I thought they were joking.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were joking. I said, no, it's Friday. And they said, no, it's not Friday. This is not Friday. And sure enough, it wasn't Friday. So when I got my coffee and all that, I said, you know, thanks for ruining my day. You people just ruined my day. But isn't that the weirdest thing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I really thought it was Friday. Even because before I go to get the coffee, I set up the mass and already by 4:30 or between 4:30 and 5, I'm setting up everything on the altar so mm-hmm. that the mass begins at 6:15 so I can, you know— Anyway, so I had everything set up, mm-hmm. and I was really excited about the first mass for the children that we were going to have after the 6:15 at 8:15, 2 hours later. But I swear, it was Friday. It was in my mind. Yesterday was mm-hmm. Thursday, and today was Friday. And as I said, all through the night, I'm preparing, you know, waking up, and I'm thinking about the mass for the children, and
such dedication.
Has that ever? It's dedication. It's dedication for sure. Well, you know what? The gospel this morning, right? Because you were there at the mass.
Yes, I was.
And Jesus, what did he say? He says, you know, stay awake,
mm-hmm.
For you don't know the day nor the hour. You don't know which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master. Anyway, so it's the beautiful gospel about, you know, be alert, be vigilant, stay awake. You don't know the hour. It's going to come when you least expect. And so as I was speaking at the homily, I was thinking, you know, Can you really comprehend? I mean, is this so, okay, so if the world goes on, as I mentioned last week, I think, is if the world goes on another 1,000, 10,000, a million years, well, we know that, I mean, really, you know.
I won't be there.
none of us will be, you know. In 100 years, the planet will be populated with different people. Everybody, there may be a handful of those that live beyond, well, maybe in those days, people live well beyond 100, I don't know. But in any case, we know our days are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man, but God has prepared for those who love him. And we're in the, you know, we're beginning the work of the day. We begin with the celebration of the Holy Mass, as we do every day. People who come, and we get a nice little turnout, you know, a couple of thousand people that come in the morning for Mass, you know.
Not just the multitude.
The multitude. No, there's probably, how many, about a dozen, maybe.
Some days 20.
Some days 20, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some days we have a lot. So that's 6:15 in the morning. That's not bad.
That's a good crowd.
It's a good number.
It is.
We should take a collection. We should be taking a collection in the morning.
I know.
Being the good Catholics
Jerry
we are.
Jerry can take the collection.
But anyway, yeah, Jerry you can do that.
No, I'm just kidding, Jerry.
I can do that.
But anyway, so I was thinking, you know, as we're here, you know, even though you're tired, although I was pretty excited this morning, and wide awake, but I was thinking, I don't know, you know, heaven, rest, eternal rest, I don't know that I do well with that kind of rest. Going back to what you were saying, what did you say that? You gave me a compliment, Geraldine, at the beginning of the show. You or Christina, Tony never does, but one of you two did.
I don't know. It was Jerry, probably.
You said I'm efficient or being...
Very efficient.
Hard worker. Did you say I was a hard worker?
Well, I know you are. Yeah. I may not have said that, but...
She knows it.
Anyway, you said something to make me think about work, and I may be a workaholic. I don't know. My provincial told me that I was, so I don't know. But anyway, I can't imagine eternal rest.
No, I can't
either. There's got to be some work for me in heaven, I think.
It'll make me jumpy.
Huh?
It'll make me jumpy.
No,
it's
we'll be
all
working.
Quiet.
We'll be working up there. It's just eternal rest from the sufferings and the pains of this world.
That's right. We'll like the work up there.
We'll be happy.
The work here, too. We some of us like what we're doing. Some of us like our work. Sometimes. I don't know. But anyway, there are times when I say, no, you know, this is enough already. But
sometimes people step into the picture and then it falls apart. That's
right.
It.
You know, Jerry and I, we always say, you know, at home, I'm a saint, I'm holy. And then once people put people in my presence, and then it all goes down the drain.
See, I can believe that.
Well, I used to, in my young days, when I was really young, I used to say, if it weren't for people, I'd probably be a saint. But really, the fact is, only because of people can we become saints, because that's where we're really...
Well, thank God for saint makers. Right, Father?
That's right. Yeah,
I'm one of them. I'm a saint maker.
You are. You are at that. But anyway, have you ever had that happen where you just think you're living in a different day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all
different
the time.
Really? Yeah.
Well, Monday, I didn't even know what day it was.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out.
I used to wake up and not know where I'm at.
Yeah, that happens too.
I do that.
That happens too. I hate a strong word.
Dislike.
Dislike intensely.
I dislike intensely if you take a little nap. I never lie down, but I mean, if I'll doze off and it's it'll be 20 minutes, no more. And I'm not every day, but sometimes I just sit, usually after the show. Because usually I'm kind of wired up and all that. So it's hard to rest after after you come off the air because you got to keep it going. You can't, you just got to keep talking, right? And, but if I doze off for 20, never more than 20 minutes. Usually it's between 10 and 20. In the wintertime, for some reason, it's a full 20, but exactly 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And when I wake up, it's the most depressing feeling because it's like, I don't want to wake up.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
20 minutes. If I ever doze off, it goes beyond an hour.
I know. Sometimes she's in the office and the phone's ringing.
My head's down on the typewriter on the computer.
Exactly.
I'm meditating.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like a rose, God rest her soul.
She used to. Poor Rose. I remember one time, Father, she was in the office and I came down and she thought it was you.
50, yes.
She was over, 55 around there.
She worked as a secretary.
Oh, yeah, wow. 55 years. Wow. She was beyond 80. Yeah, she was. So I was coming down the stairs and I looked. And she started, she thought it was you, the pastor. So she started typing on the keyboard. Right. There was no paper on the keyboard. I'm like, Rose, it's just me.
Jeez. God rest your soul. Today's the feast of St. Monica.
Yes.
St. Monica, we have to tell her story. We always do it. It's just a beautiful St. Augustine writes of the death of his mother. So I've got that. And we've got, boss, it's so sad. That was the other thing. Yes, I have to say. You know, there's certain things that kind of really bring you down. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things that happened yesterday that really brought me down mm-hmm. in the sense that I just couldn't shake this bad sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing that it started with the slaying of those two journalists.
No, it was terrible.
That was so sad. So sad. On live television.
Yes.
And just to hear the screaming, that was eerie.
It was.
And the gunshots, it's terrible.
But it's, you know, it's where you just, you don't know why this anxiety or this tension or this, like this dark cloud mm-hmm. is hanging over me. And then all of a sudden you remember where that's coming from, you know. But that, well, I'll tell you, we pray for their family and friends and for the co-workers and all that, but that is... I mean, these, I tell you, you know, I told somebody, and maybe I've said it on the radio, I don't know, but, you know, when people say they don't believe in God, I say, all you have to, you know, this is down, because on one hand, you know, we'd say, well, look at the birds in the sky and the flowers and the garden and the grass of the field and the ocean and the mountains mm-hmm. and the...
Yeah.
And all these beautiful, wonderful things, you know, again, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. Just look at all the beauty, the birth of a baby, the child, the beauty of a child, the beauty of a man and woman who are, you know, is there, you know, the joy of marriage, 50 years of marriage.
Mm, that's...
We had this past week, and you said, well, how could you not believe in God? When you look at that, but I tell you, you know, to be honest, when you look into the face of evil mm-hmm. and darkness, yeah. I mean, that brings me to believe in God as well, that there's got to be a force that counters this evil. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That
oh, yes.
Just you, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It tells me that the fact that we have this intuitive sense to the good, you know, we gravitate, we should gravitate to what is good and what is beautiful, what is noble, what is dignified. And because we do, this darkness, this evil, it just it's jolting, you know, it jolts you. And it's too much, to be honest, you know. These days, I swear, it's too much when you, mm-hmm. And nothing new under the sun, but the intensity with which things are happening. And again, I always go back to what you were saying. You said a few times, Jerry, about if you were living in and you certainly were in the 1940s, you know, during the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'd think the world was coming to an end at that time, right? Because the millions upon millions of people who perished in that short period of time, you know, around the world. Now that, we're not certainly dealing with those kinds of casualties right today, but mm-hmm. it's man's inhumanity to man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And the fact is that we've got this potential
mm-hmm.
for horrific mm-hmm. Destruction mm-hmm. with the proliferation of nuclear arms and just the sophistication and how complex the technology and the fact that this big, vast world is so tiny, so small.
Yeah.
Everything is so interconnected today, more than ever, that it's not going to take much, really, to ignite the fire.
Mm-mm.
But in the meantime, there are these ongoing, on a daily basis, there's something happening somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we could talk about it every day, but there's a point when you just can't. I'm thinking of the atrocities being done in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to forget that, certainly, and we don't. But you can't deal with that on a day-to-day basis. No. There's a point where you just, what can I do? You know, we can pray, and we do. We certainly pray, and I can't change the situation, but I can certainly look at myself and ask myself, what am I doing, you know, to contribute to proper order and to the proper harmony that should exist in the world, a proper ordering, a peace. What can I do to bring a little bit of joy? And I think, by the way, a little bit of joy, I was going to say, but I think for that reason, even as we come into the radio, it's in a sense, I like the lightness of the, sometimes it gets heavy, but I think for the most part, we try to keep it a little bit light, because we're coming away, all of us. I mean, when I come in here, I'm coming away from a lot of tensions, a lot of stuff going on in the lives of a lot of people. Things that shouldn't, a lot of tragedies that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Shouldn't happen. But the world in which we live, where the boundaries aren't well defined anymore, and there's a lot of confusion, and people are allured into this or that or whatever. And once it all falls apart, then we've got to deal with the consequences, right? How do you put all this together? And in many, many cases, you just can't put it together. Mm-hmm. You can't pull it together because it is what it is. But if we but only put faith in God, because I do believe, I firmly believe, as Jesus says, you know, he will bring light out of darkness, good out of evil, and eventually life out of death. Now, if not for that, then we would despair. So, I mean, what is in the eyes of the world an end, for those who have faith, it's not the end. It's in the case of these two young people, they were in their 20s, who were just slain right there.
Yes.
They, you know, if not for faith, how could you survive that? Even with faith, you know, you've got to suffer the trauma of such a thing.
Right.
But it is, it's there's a point where you just say, I can't watch the news. I have to, but I really have to pull away from it because it becomes, and then what happens is, and maybe not, so, I don't know if it happens here so much, but I think sometimes this past Sunday, I felt that, I don't know, you guys were there, but especially at the 10 o'clock, I don't know, I just felt when I started the homily after the gospel, I immediately was just overwhelmed by the horrors, the atrocity of the Planned Parenthood harvesting of the organs of those children, and then these videotapes continue to come out, and it's the how callous, how hard-hearted, to even to laugh in the face of these atrocities.
Yes.
But I felt later, you know, that after the Mass, because I think even at the end of the Mass, I said as a last comment as we're leaving, you know, because as the Mass is ended, you know, go in peace, glorify the Lord, the Mass is ended, which means, you know, we're being sent into the mission, because this is really what it is. It's where we come as into sacred assembly as a people with a mission, and we're being sent out. And I think I made just as a last thought, and I thought, well, later, it maybe was a downer in the sense, because I said, you know, I made reference to the lion that for about 2 weeks, that's all that was on what dominated so much of the news, is the even asking for the death of the dentist who was on the safari who killed the lion, but all the networks, everybody was just fixated on this as the most horrific, terrible thing that could have happened. Well, nobody, I don't wish the death of any of God's creatures, no, but when it comes to the child, the innocence of a baby, the unborn, and what's being revealed, what we're watching, and yet there isn't this outcry, the media certainly hasn't given attention to this. And so sometimes I think, you know, we go to Mass and we I think we have to be, you know, challenged. Well, we have to be challenged. I mean, the Word of God, the gospel, the good news is the good news, but it challenges us to the very core of who we are, right?
Right.
Yeah. Jesus in the gospel the last several days, right? Woe to you, Pharisees and scribes and all that, you know. And he's admonishing, challenging. The gospel is a great challenge, but we should welcome the challenge because we want not to be overcome or seduced even by evil, that we become maybe ourselves hard-hearted, mm-hmm. cold-hearted, unforgiving, or lacking in mercy, or uncharitable in the way we speak and how we treat each other. And you know, sad to say, but sometimes you encounter that out there. Mm-hmm. And it says, what's happened to the human? What's going on in the psyche of our people that there can be this coldness or this crudeness or this even the language? Mm-hmm. You know, I listen as I'm walking. And it's amazing, even in the presence of the children, mm-hmm. some of the way people speak. Yes. I mean, using the F word and this and that, and, you know, it's just, and yet at the same time, you think then, well, gosh, the whole world is going to, what do they say? You know what they say?
Yes, mm-hmm. we know.
You know? But then you encounter great goodness, great beauty mm-hmm. in people, great kindness, and so it's just trying to keep things in a perspective to trying to maintain balance. And anyway, so but how we got into all that, I don't know. It is the Feast of Saint Monica. We're going to take a break. I have a couple of things here. Even teach your children how to pray. The Pope tells the parents in a very beautiful way, very mm-hmm. very beautiful way. He speaks about that. The problem with pews, you know, in the
pews?
Church, yeah.
Oh.
Maybe we'll get to that too. I was reading that. I'm very happy after reading that. I'm very happy that we're doing here what we're doing. So it's anyway, we should take a break. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Support of Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. One church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's summertime and school is out. You are sharing time with your children and you're bonding as a family. But summertime, unfortunately, is turning into fall. And then it'll be back to school. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Welcome back. I've just lost my
voice. Your voice is changing.
Welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Welcome. It's maturing.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back, Mr. Cotter. Did you know? Do you know that most of those actors and actresses have died that were in the Welcome Back, Cotter?
That was in the 70s.
It was in the 70s, yeah.
Sure. Wow.
I think most of them have died.
Really? And they weren't that old.
Horshack is gone.
Really?
I forgot the name. We talked about this one on the radio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, very interesting. I happened to come across this article, The Problem with Pews, the Benches in the Church. And this is written by Father George Rutler. Did you know that, and I always wondered about this, but never really gave it much thought, never really, just wondered, you know, why. But in Rome, in many of the, in many of the basilicas, even in St. Peter's, there are no pews, or there may be a few up in the very front. So we're talking about these huge basilicas.
Yeah.
So St. Mary Major, St. John Lateran, St. Paul behind the wall, St. Peter's, and then, of course, many of the other churches, huge churches throughout Rome, have very few pews. Mm-hmm. And I wondered about that, but especially the basilicas. Now, I understand that people are moving through the church and all that because they're open all the time. Mm-hmm. I was reading that the pews, this is the invention of the Protestants. Catholic churches didn't have pews.
Oh.
That's very interesting.
But how did they sit on the floor or what?
No, they stood.
They stood.
They stood, or they knelt. Okay. They would kneel, or they stood. It's kneel on kneelers, and they had a few pews for the aged people.
So the children
are at that time, you know, there weren't a lot of aged people because I think they were, you know, people didn't live as long. I'm assuming
that's right.
And
probably for the mother and the children.
Yeah, and people were, you know, these were people who walked. You know, so there wasn't the a lot of the problems we have today. You know, we tend to be more stationary. But this is it was interesting. He writes that they actually came into being after the Reformation. Let's see.
That's interesting. Is when you go to those churches you mentioned in Rome, there was a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The pilgrims, the tourists and the pilgrims.
Because the other thing that it was saying was that even during the temples were places to worship God.
Yes.
And so even in Judaism, there were no pews, in the temple. Mm-hmm. In the mosques, there's no.
Well, no, they're kneeling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when you went to the temple, when you went to the sanctuary, you would prostrate, you would kneel, you would stand. But you went for the sole purpose of worshiping God. It wasn't, and so the pews, as he writes, aesthetically, the pews stratify the people as passive participants.
Mm-hmm.
So that even in the church, you had people moving around too. They were lighting candles. There were all these other prayers going on. And he's making the point that this, you know, we've, again, this idea that we stratify. We stratify the people as passive participants. He even said that the idea that now, you know, you go to communion pew by pew, you know, so you have these ushers that come down and everything. No, this is he describes the liturgy, the sacred liturgy as a dance, a sacred dance, not
not the liturgical dance,
but
not the crazy dancing.
But that
no.
there was this, this
you, the break dance.
People, you know, I'll tell you, I think about it when I think of Mexico, for instance. When you think the pilgrims who come to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you know, they're on their knees, and there's a whole procession that goes, and it's there. It's not about, you know, people looking at each other. We're going to form or bond. We're going to bond together. But it was for the sole purpose of the worship of God. When you think about it,
it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And when I was speaking of the basilicas in Rome, I happened to be at the mass in St. Peter's, or rather St. Paul outside the wall, And of course, the altars were built high. If you go into those old basilicas, they were built high. You had to go up to the altar, and of course, they were under baldacchinos. Mm-hmm. So you had a canopy over the altars, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so at St. Paul outside the wall, there were, the priest had was celebrating from the high altar, because there's mm-hmm. also there's two altars, mm-hmm. and I don't know quite how to explain it, but at the one far end of the nave, you've got the sanctuary, you've got a sanctuary, and then you've got the old sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Mass is still celebrated there, but mm-hmm. it's so the when you've got the whole people. So as you're looking to
the east,
to the west, you know, if you're looking to the east, okay, you've got the altar, but mm-hmm. behind the altar, you've got space for people to kneel, and you've got another sanctuary because that can accommodate the Sunday crowds, which are rather small. I mean, they're big, but they're not. These are big basilicas. So uh-huh. when you've got a major celebration, mm-hmm. let's say the Feast of St. Paul, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking thousands of people in mm-hmm. the church, mm-hmm. and so they would be in the nave of the church, the actual nave of the church, where there were no pews, but now they bring out chairs. They'll bring chairs out for the people. But the point is that the priest was celebrating with his back to the people mm-hmm. on this high altar, you know, where you have to go up, and there was this, and it was the regular Mass. It wasn't the Tridentine Mass, but there was this wonderful sense that everybody had their attention directed to God the Father, you know, and so that even as I remember, it just was a moving experience during the consecration as a priest lifted the host, you know, we're all looking towards him, but he's looking towards heaven, mm-hmm. and we're all kind of directed to the God the Father, mm-hmm. and this is proper worship. It's a very powerful experience. And so I thought this was a very interesting mm-hmm. article about this the pews as a Protestant innovation, but it wasn't part of the Catholic having pews in the church, everything neatly, you know, it wasn't part of our tradition,
right?
You know,
and it makes sense, Father. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Like when what you wrote sense? In the letter,
everything I say makes sense.
Okay. Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So you got it. All right.
You know what I'm saying? No, but the right worship of God.
Right.
How when we come, it's not about us. It's about right. us worshiping God the Father and giving of ourselves to Him.
Right.
So the kneeling, the stand, we're recognizing He is our God. He is our Creator, Almighty, and we owe Him the respect, the exactly. honor Him.
It's so hard today, mm-hmm. even dealing with young people and all that, to bring people to understand what is proper mm-hmm. to Catholic worship, what is proper to the Mass. It is people that go to daily Mass, they got it, they get mm-hmm. it, they understand. But the Sunday worship, because we've been so, you got liturgical committees and all that to try to, what are we going to do? How are we going to make mm-hmm. this, you know, how are we going to choreograph all the, you know.
It's
we come, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago at Mass. I don't know if I mentioned it on the radio, but there's no manipulation.
Right.
There should be no manipulation of people. You know, certainly we're sensate people, right? We sensory, we have senses. And so incense and the beauty of the mm-hmm. church and the proper music. I like really a very silent Mass, to be honest. But the music, all this should serve the drama, the mm-hmm. sacred drama that's mm-hmm. unfolding on the altar mm-hmm. of sacrifice. We, for our part, as we participate, what is our participation? But it's the giving of ourselves mm-hmm. in gratitude mm-hmm. to God for what God has done for us, in gratitude to the Father for having sent the Son, who we offer to the Father in a perpetual mm-hmm. way. We offer our lives with Him because we only have access to the Father through mm-hmm. Jesus, right. through Jesus. And so, and then it's being, then the reception of Christ in the Holy Eucharist toward the end of the celebration of the Mass. But our participation is bringing our lives, bringing our marriages, bringing our families, bringing the crisis ever present in the world, and as Jesus said in the gospel today, stay awake, be vigilant. It's the church in vigil. The church is in vigilant prayer every time she celebrates the sacred mysteries, It's in, and you listen, if you really listen to the prayers of the Mass, you'll hear it. It's all there, you know, acknowledging, how often do we acknowledge through the prayer of the Mass our sinfulness, our unworthiness, mm-hmm. and that God has lifted us up. I mean, it comes through in so many beautiful ways. The invocation of the saints and the angels, the whole of the heavenly court, the Mother of God, the offering of the offering of Christ, mm-hmm. and gratitude to the Father for having redeemed us in and through Jesus. It's all about coming humbly in gratitude to offer, to give. So I say, if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're old, if you're young, if you're depressed, if you're flying high, if you've just been engaged to your fiance is just engaged to you. There's an engagement. There's the joy of that, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or you've experienced the death of a loved one or the sickness. Yeah. The point is, no manipulation, mm-hmm. so that everybody mm-hmm. has a place in sacred assembly, and together we offer to God. Mm-hmm. This is proper. This is the proper participation, our proper participation. It's not a show. It's not a show, and nothing should distract from what is happening on the altar. In fact, the Word of God being proclaimed at the ambo should bring us to the then celebration of the sacrifice and in preparation for reception of Jesus in communion. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's summertime and school is out. You are sharing time with your children and you're bonding as a family. But summertime, unfortunately, is turning into fall. And then it'll be back to school. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Forming Faithful Families is now offering our 15-episode video series on DVD, filmed in stunning high definition with a free downloadable Small Faith Discussion Group program guide. We hope that you will consider purchasing, implementing, and promoting this video series at the personal and small group level. Forming Faithful Families is a faithful and trustworthy parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life faith formation in service to the new evangelization pertaining to the Catholic faith. Listen to this recommendation. Firmly grounded in the teaching of the Catholic Church, sacred scripture, and the wisdom of the saints, with this series, James and Kathleen offer a thirsty world a refreshing and satisfying drink. It also makes a great gift with eternal benefits for both the giver and the receiver. To order your DVD set today, visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this. What is today? Today is
Thursday.
I was telling, even during the break, I mentioned to Tony, we get this workshop on Saturday. He says, you're going to be there tomorrow? You know, I'm still thinking that. It's a Friday. So, but I promise, well, I shouldn't promise, right? But I hope to be back tomorrow. I should be back, God willing. We always say, in Spanish, they say, God willing.
God willing.
No. If God wants, you know, we'll see tomorrow if God wants.
Right.
So, the Pope has been doing this catechesis on the family, and this is in preparation, certainly for the synod in Rome in October, which is going to be very interesting because there's been all kind of controversy, and this is a part of the stuff of the. As I was writing to the parents this morning, I was speaking to. This is a welcome them back to St. Stan's because many of our people are commuters. They come, so the kids are back, and we got new people as well, and non-Catholics as well. And so I tried to, you know, convey to them that that we're here for all people. You know, hopefully we convey that reality that the church is. The church is the sacrament is a sacrament that mediates grace to all God's people.
Yes,
you know, but that we as Catholics, you know, unfortunately sometimes we can be the impediment, often the impediment that really blocks the full riches of Christ. Because so, but the beauty is the good news is that God remains with us in spite of us, you know, as has been the case from. The beginning of God's revelation of himself to Abraham and then through the whole journey of the Israelites. And you see all the foibles and the rough edges and the sins and the scandals and all that. And it just, it's always been. It is, and as we come down through history, so that even in the last days, which would be from the time of the ascension until Jesus comes at the end of time, you know, there's, again, nothing new under the sun, right? There's, but... Certainly, as the church says of herself, she's always, as she has to call herself to reform and renewal in every age, and we have to be merciful because we are always approaching Christ as sinners. Some are sinners without sin, others are sinners with some sin, some are sinners with much sin. But we have. By the way, that was something too I wanted to talk about today. I forgot. I left it in the chapel. Well, I can bring it up tomorrow. No, I've got it here. I do have it here. This is a very beautiful. I'm all over the place now. But St. John Chrysostom was speaking about five paths to penance. This was in the Office of Readings. And it was very beautiful because he says, you know, that because we do have to, we have to be aware of how we approach the throne of God or the altar of God. We have to be. We have to, number one, there needs to be the condemnation of our own sins, right? We have to be first to admit sin, and then we will be justified. If we don't admit to our sins, then we're not justified, right?
Right.
So we have to admit to the fact that we are sin. This is very hard for people today, by the way. This is part of the reason
why. They don't want any part of that.
No part of that, right?
I have no sins to confess, therefore I will not go to confession.
But condemnation of one's own sins, be first to admit sin and you will be justified. The Lord will forgive, less likely to commit sin also, if we understand. Okay, so that's the first path to penance. The second is to put out of our mind the harm done to us by others.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put out of your mind the harm done to you by others, even the Lord and the Our Father. Lord, he says, you know, one of the petitions, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And of course, that's the one petition that's repeated at the end of the Our Father. So that would be the second pathway. And then the third pathway to penance is prayer that is fervent, careful, and comes from the heart. I thought it was very interesting. He didn't expound on that, but this is St. John Chrysostom, so we're going back to the earlier centuries of the church. Prayer that is fervent, I can understand that, right?
Yeah.
Comes from the heart, I understand that, but careful. What do you think he meant by that? Prayer that is careful. I guess that would be prayer that defers to Christ. You know, because we can manipulate with our prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do this, and I'll do that.
Yeah.
God, give me this, and I'll do this, or whatever. Or, you know, it's just a gimme, 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 you know, this. Mm. Rather than really, it's the prayer that is careful is the prayer that it freely gives, we freely give of ourselves to God. So prayer. So we got condemnation of one's own sins. Be first to admit sin, because we won't be justified until we admit to our sins. Put out of our mind the harm done to us by others. It's very hard for some people to do, maybe hard for all of us to do, but it's necessary. It's a part of the path to penance. Prayer that is fervent, careful, comes from the heart. Number four, almsgiving, or What would that be? Caring for others. We have to care for others. And finally, we offer to God our lives in humility, in humility. And this is what began, following these pathways to penance, we begin to experience the healing of wounds. The wounds begin to heal. We regain spiritual health. And then we can approach the altar or go gloriously to meet Christ. Anyway, this is very interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, do we admit? Because see, that's the other thing, our participation in the sacred mysteries, we come humbly because we realize that we are, rather than celebrate ourselves, you know, we'll celebrate ourselves, we come in deep gratitude, humbly, to give of ourselves. Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but say only the word, and my soul will be healed. So that's right. The Pope, so he's had this catechesis on the family, and he stressed the importance of teaching children how to show love for God through prayer. And this is very beautiful, very simple way he spoke. He says, it's beautiful when mothers teach their children to blow a kiss to Jesus or to Our Lady. Mm-hmm. I see this all the time, you know, especially the grandmothers. Mm-hmm. They bring their children, they bring their grandchildren, and they'll teach them how to, you know, blow a kiss to Jesus or to Our Lady. Because he says, in that moment, the child's heart is transformed into a place of prayer. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So from the time, even before that child can walk, a baby can learn to throw a kiss to Jesus, to Our Lady. And he says, there are children who have not learned how to make the sign of the cross. Mother, father, teach your children how to pray, how to make the sign of the cross. Children, and this is a beautiful thing. He says, children should learn prayer with the same spontaneity as when they learn to say daddy and mommy, so that it stays with them forever. It's very, very simple, but very wise. Children should learn to pray with the same spontaneity as when they learn to say daddy and mommy, so that it stays with them forever. And he says, you know, that many Christians know they need prayer, but they don't have the time. And their regret is sincere, certainly, because the human heart always seeks prayer. Even without knowing it, if it does not find it, it doesn't have peace. It doesn't have peace. This is a very important point as well. So regret is sincere. Their regret is sincere when they say we don't have time for prayer, but the human heart nonetheless seeks prayer even if we don't know it. And we're not gonna, and if we don't find it, then we don't have peace. Yeah. So peace is a fruit of prayer. We have to, and he spoke about how Christians must cultivate a love for God. It's good to believe in God, to have hope in God, in difficult times, to be grateful to God. But he says, do we love God? You know, we're called to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our strength. This is the intense language of love poured into God. We're able to see God as the one who gives us life and from whom even death cannot separate us, the great bridge or the great being and judge who made all things and controls every act. He says God could have simply made us know him as the supreme being, given his commandments, and awaited the results. It's kind of Islam, you know, because Islam, there is no dialogue. But God gives us infinitely more because he accompanies us. He walks with us on the path of life. He's protecting us. He loves us. And so we must find the time to pray and to learn to pray unceasingly. All right, Nick, we'll take a final break, then we'll come back and we'll conclude with the beautiful words of St. Augustine on the death of his mother, St. Monica, whose feast day is today. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, one church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois.
Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's summertime and school is out. You are sharing time with your children and you're bonding as a family. But summertime, unfortunately, is turning into fall. And then it'll be back to school. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Welcome back. I think we have time to share, because this is the Feast of St. Monica. It's so beautiful.
It is.
She was born of a Christian family in Africa, in 331 Northern Africa. And anyway, Augustine was her son, and she's famous for all those years that she prayed for his conversion, and he was finally converted, and he was eventually became a priest and a bishop. And so in the Confessions of St. Augustine, he speaks about her last days, and it's so beautiful. He says, "The day was now approaching when my mother Monica would depart from this life. Now, you knew that day, Lord, though we did not. She and I happened to be standing by ourselves at a window that overlooked the garden and the courtyard of the house. At the time, we were in Ostia on the Tiber. That's just about 45 minutes from Rome. We had gone there after a long and wearisome journey to get away from the noisy crowd and to rest and prepare for our sea voyage to go home. I believe that you, Lord, caused all this to happen in your own mysterious ways. And so the two of us, all alone, were enjoying a very pleasant conversation, forgetting the past and pushing on to what is ahead. We were asking one another in the presence of the truth, for you are the truth, what it would be like to share the eternal joy, the eternal life enjoyed by the saints, which eye has not seen nor ear heard, which has not even entered into the heart of man. We desired with all our hearts to drink from the streams of your heavenly fountain, the fountain of life. That was the substance of our talk, though not the exact words, but you know, O Lord, that in the course of our conversation that day, the world and its pleasures lost all their attraction for us. My mother said, "Son, as far as I'm concerned, nothing in this life now gives me any pleasure. I don't even know why I'm still here, since I have no further hopes in this world. I did have one reason for wanting to live a little longer, to see you become a Catholic before I died." That's what she said. God has lavished his gift on me, in that respect, for I know that you have even renounced earthly happiness to be his servant. So what am I doing here?" I do not really remember how I answered her, but shortly, within 5 days or thereabouts, she fell sick with a fever. Then one day during the course of her illness, she became unconscious, and for a while she was unaware of her surroundings. My brother and I rushed to her side, but she regained consciousness quickly. She looked at us and as we stood there and asked in a puzzled voice, "Where was I? Where was I?" We were overwhelmed with grief, but she held her gaze steadily upon us and spoke further. She says, "Here you shall bury your mother." I remained silent as I held back my tears. However, my brother haltingly expressed his hope that she might not die in a strange country, but in her own land, since her end would be happier there. When she heard this, Her face was filled with anxiety, and she reproached him with a glance because he had entertained such earthly thoughts. Then she looked at me and spoke, look what he's saying. Thereupon, she said to both of us, bury my body wherever you will. Let not care of it cause you any concern. One thing only I ask you, that you remember me at the altar of the Lord, wherever you may be. Once our mother had expressed this desire as best as she could, she fell silent as the pain of her illness increased. Yeah. She died at the age of 50. I was 58. She was, I think she was 58 or 56 or something like that. So Augustine was 33 at the time of her death. Mm-hmm. But isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It's very beautiful. And I truly believe this. I truly, truly believe this because I've seen it and I trust that it's going to be for me the same way. I'm saying, I'm hoping. If we just live, if God is the center. Mm-hmm. We come from God, we go to God, and God we live. If we just, God knows his own, and he'll prepare us for whatever we have to deal with. You know, I remember Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, you look at the birds in the sky, provide for the birds and the flowers of the field. They're beautifully adorned. He said, but you're more important to me. He says, you're more important to me than the birds and the flowers. So he says, stop it already. How many times have we talked about this on the radio? It's so beautiful. He said, stop it already. That's what he says. He says, enough already. Enough already.
Yeah, basta.
But yeah, basta. Enough already. He says, today has troubles enough of its own. Mm-hmm. I'm with you today, and I'm going to get you through this day, and I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow, and I'll be with you the day after, and I'll be with you the day after, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, right? That's the point he's making. And if we could just believe that, but believe that, put our trust in Jesus. How many times in the gospel he tries to teach us that? Yeah. I think of Peter, he's walking on the water and he begins to sink, Lord, save me. And she said, well, you man of little faith, get up, keep your eyes on me. Don't take your eyes away from me. The water's not going to drown you. So we're not defeated, you see, that's the thing. We go through difficult times and, you know, we have to weather the storms and fight the good fight, but we keep our eyes on Jesus and we will have peace. All right, everybody. Thanks. We're sorry that we started a little bit late today, but, you know, so be it. It's just the way it is. Latino time, as Christina said. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. God willing, Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say? When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.